February 2009, so November 2009. So, could some of these have already gone through and actually been foreclosed? Or, you know, so these are not all necessarily just the 90-day group. Some are further along.
Now, but the process in West in New York State is really to take a home through foreclosure. It takes approximately 444 days. We're like the longest in the country, so that's more than a year. Okay. So any of the filings that were done in 2009 have likely not proceeded to a judgment just yet.
Okay.
But they're headed there in many, many cases. And in some cases, you'll see that there are two listings for the same street address or the same
house.
That means there were two mortgages, exactly. Sometimes by the same company, sometimes by a different company. You'll also see that some of them might have been a municipal listing, which means that they're delinquent in paying their taxes. In some of the communities that have more of the condo and co-op associations, you'll see that they are filings by the condo and co-op boards. So you'll see like a something association as the filing. So this is, again, this is all the data that's filed in the county clerk's office as relevant. Actually, Albert, since you're here, you might as well look at it.
And again, Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to understand.
That's John Nona's district, right. So okay. I have a
one other
version.
Question. So
John Albert is looking at your
So again,
district.
And just, and again, trying to make sure I conclude.
And Teresa, my aide is coming in to get that information.
Okay, that's fine. No
just
problem.
So I really completely understand this, one of these numbers that goes back to, say, January 09, could they, in fact,
have
filed bankruptcy or gotten out, paid up? You know what I'm saying?
Potentially, could they have sold their house under short sale?
Right, so this is not, you don't have the end story of these. This is just a filing. And,
correct.
Okay, I just try to, I appreciate it, but I'm just
understanding. Yeah, I don't understand. What is a short sale?
A short sale means that the family owns or owes on a mortgage
more than
and
it's
is in default and has decided to put their house up for sale. They have an offer to buy that house, but it's for less than the mortgage owed. And so in a lot, it's becoming more and more frequent, not necessarily in Westchester, but across the country, it's becoming more and more frequent where the mortgage company or the bank is agreeing to allow the sale of that property for less than the mortgage that's owed. That's why it's called a short sale. It's coming short
of
the full mortgage that's due. The benefit of a short sale to the homeowner is that it doesn't reflect on their credit that they had a foreclosure. All right, it does still they still have to
come up with this correct amount of money to the bank.
Then they're free and clear.
They work a deal out.
That's why the bank has to agree to it.
Oh.
But on their credit, it still shows up that they were delinquent in paying their mortgage, but they don't have that judgment in their credit. So in some cases, you know, while the court is working through the foreclosure and from the default, from the solicitor pendens filings to the actual judgment, the court may sometimes order the owner, you have to put your house up for sale. Okay? So they'll give them X number of days to sometimes try to actually get that accomplished. So let's start with actual foreclosures, because the picture of foreclosures was really interesting in 2009. Let's go back to what we consider to be the last normal year. The last normal year for foreclosures was 2005, pretty much. That's when, you know, the real estate market was as it normally would be. And so in 2005, we saw a total of 300 foreclosure judgments in that year, okay? By 2008, obviously the market had changed considerably. And so in 2008, we saw a total of 1,033 foreclosure judgments.
Wow.
But in 2009, that number dropped down to 731. So, which one do you mean?
Oh, so maybe if this is a bell curve, then we're starting down
again. And that's what you might think is, okay, the economy's recovering, and so we've seen a 30% drop in foreclosures. But you got to look at the other piece of it, and that's the filings, the default filings. When you actually look at the default filings, that tells you a very different story. That tells you that we haven't even hit.
Oh gosh, 3127. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Is that because people are working out deals with the banks and they're not there to filing, but they're not foreclosing because they're working out deals?
Well, to some extent we think that, John, but we also think that the last couple months the filings have just jumped. They are now there's now over 300 filings each month for each pretty much since August. And so we think that really what's happening is a lot of our Wall Street bankers and a lot of our businessmen who left after many, many years with their companies and had The severance packages, they're running out of those severance packages. I don't know what you were talking about.
So they've been living off severance, paying their mortgage with severance payments.
Right.
Running out.
Right, and now those severance packages are now running out, and they don't have the ability probably to continue those payments. So we're now going to see more and more families going into defaults.
Also, I'm Veronica Raphael from Westchester Residential Opportunities. We have four or five housing counseling agents, counselors. But I just wanted to add to that, what we're finding in the New York State, the new laws have had a moratorium on foreclosures and a pre-foreclosure settlement conference. So individuals are allowed to go to court to try and work out a reasonable workout with the lender. So it doesn't go into foreclosure as quickly as it did in previous years.
So again, the filings are definitely up just because we think of the economic circumstances of what's going on in the county. And where the loss of jobs, not just necessarily in Westchester, but in the New York metropolitan area. So that's why I'm warning you that the filings is what's really telling the story here. There have been all sorts of, between the law that was enacted in 2008 that kind of slowed down the foreclosure process and put more noticing in effect, and then the new law that goes into effect either late this month or next month.
Yeah, in February.
February. That now requires that when the court hears this case, every household is entitled to foreclosure counseling now. And so our courts are now working it out so that we actually have the foreclosure representatives, the nonprofit housing counseling agencies, are now actually in the court at least one day a week.
Twice a
week now. Okay, good. And then if you're trying to have two agencies there each time so that as the court actually hears a case, they can then refer it directly to the counselor that's there, and they can start the discussion of how they might be able to renegotiate their mortgage.
If you would continue, Liz, we are unfortunately stacked up this morning for the use of this room.
Sure.
We have a 9:30, a 10:30, and 11:30 meeting.
Like
perhaps
Gordy.
Not the smartest thing we ever did, but I'd like to get through this presentation.
Fine. So let me just give you some general overviews in terms of what we've seen. Going back to judgments. Yonkers is by far, more than 20% of the judgments themselves occurred in Yonkers. There were a total of 151 of the 731 defaults, of the judgments were actually in Yonkers. 128 were in Mount Vernon. So there's no question that our large cities are still bearing the brunt of the issue here. Next worst was the city of White Plains that had 58 foreclosures. Then Peekskill and New Rochelle both had 35 foreclosures. Ossining had 31. Cortland Manor had 31. That one always surprises me to some extent. And then Portchester had 23. So those were all of the municipalities that had 20 or more foreclosures during the course of 2009. In terms of the banks, because we also analyzed to see which banks are leading. Deutsche Bank had 78. HSBC had 77. U.S. Bank had 73, and Wells Fargo had 70. Now, we know some of these are just trustees, and they're just administering the mortgage for somebody else, but certainly on the bank level, that's the activity, in terms of who's holding the mortgages. In terms of the defaults themselves, again, it's the Yonkers and Mount Vernon scenario. Of the 3,127 defaults, well over 500 of them are in Yonkers. Approximately almost 400 of them are in Mount Vernon. So again, we're not done. The impact on those cities is not done in terms of, potential future foreclosures. The other municipalities also had some significant numbers, but the jumps really were in those two cities. When we look at the banks again for the default filings, again, it's Deutsche Bank is at the top, probably with about, our guess was about 265. I was not going to go through and count every single line on these listings here. U.S. Bank and Wells Fargo probably had about 260. HSBC had at least 200 in there. One West Bank, I've never even heard of some of these banks, but one West Bank.
Okay,
because IndyMac was a separate listing. So, as these banks merge and change names,
I see a lot.
So one West Bank had approximately 160. J.P. Morgan Chase was 160, approximately. Citibank was another 140. Bank of New York, which now is Chase.
Bank of New York is...
It's J.P. Morgan Chase.
So they had another 120, but again, when the mortgage was recorded, it was Bank of New York. And then Bank of America was another 120. So, you know, in terms of, you know, where we go from here, we still have the money for, well, we have an award of money for a foreclosure purchase program for us to be able to go in and buy foreclosed properties in Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and Peekskill for the first round. We have not, we've been having great difficulty actually getting our grant agreements finalized with the state. So, you know, we were just on a conference call with them late on Thursday afternoon trying to get this, there's the last couple clauses that we're trying to get resolved. So as soon as we get this funding, it will enable us to be able to go out and start buying some of these homes in Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and Peekskill to be able to rehab them and then get them resold and then hopefully start to change, you know, the scenery on some of these streets. So,
John, you follow what happens to people who lose their homes in foreclosure, where they go?
There are four agencies right now that do foreclosure counseling. Three of them are in the room. So we have Community Housing Innovations, Housing Action Council, and WRO are in the room. So if you don't mind, John, I'd rather have one of the agencies answer that question because they're the ones that actually do the counseling.
Sure.
Monica?
A lot of the homeowners actually go back, if they're foreigners, some of them will move back to their respective countries. Some will go to their home, to other family members, and then others are just homeless. I mean, we're sending them to a lot of the community service organizations that can help them find apartments or affordable housing.
John, this is Rose Noonan. Our counselor spends a lot of time helping people try to find rental units who go through the foreclosure process. Some of them have moved into the affordable units that have been created with the help of the county.
Alec, anything else that you'd like to add from your agency's perspective?
Basically, I second what's been said about it. We also look for rental housing, et cetera, but the great majority of the people that are in foreclosure are in their homes, doing trial modifications, attempting what the state law in New York did was stop all of this. That's why this bubble is getting, you know, bigger and bigger. People are frozen in their houses because the banks are just still overwhelmed and they can't deal with all these foreclosures, and they're not willing to deal with, some people say, because of the fact that if they do a foreclosure and they lose money, it shows on their bank statements, they have to get more reserves, and now they're in worse shape. So what's happening now is you have this freeze, which people are stuck in their homes, and they're doing what are called trial modifications or permits. And that is where the real story is, which I'm sure Norma will go into, that nothing's happening, really. I mean, relatively, comparatively, nothing's happening. Everything is still frozen.
But meanwhile, the debt keeps piling up.
The debt keeps piling up. The people are in terrible shape. I mean, people come in crying, and it's a terrible situation from an emotional standpoint for the people.
Yeah, we're here.
Mr. Chair?
Is anybody speaking?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Should have spoken.
Yeah, our visitors are over on the side. It's a little bit far away to hear, John. I'm sorry. Norma, yeah, I'm sorry. Please. Okay. We're stuck. We have another committee who wants this room at 10:30 morning.
But it's like, but that they're here.
First, we have to get the information. Go ahead, Norma.
I would like to say our town hall meeting to address 2009 foreclosures and where we'd like to go in 2010 will be held at the Riverfront Library in Yonkers on this Thursday night from 5 to 7. Westchester Residential Opportunities and the other agencies that are listed here are collaborating along with some senators. Invitations have gone to the Board of Legislators as well. We've got a panel of bankers, local regulators, federal regulators, as well as state senators that will be addressing this issue. And we'll have a room full of testimonies from clients that are either working with one of our agencies that will give testimony on how it affected them.
The good news is that the services and the awareness of the fact that services exist, that message is definitely getting out there. The year-end summary that I got from 211 showed that they actually had received over 1,300 phone calls from folks that were looking for assistance and guidance and referrals on how do they deal with their foreclosures. The dilemma that 211 ran into is because of their budgetary issues. At one point, they actually had to stop handling these phone calls. Chase was able to step in, and the county was able to step in to get them some additional funding to be able to continue to handle these phone calls. So, but even with a little bit of a blip there, they actually still handle over 1,300 calls, and the four agencies are all getting numerous phone calls in terms of people trying to, you know, get their attention, and the court is now making regular referrals to these agencies. Again, well aware of the good work that our Westchester County agencies do, as opposed to having to bring in outside agencies to do this work. So the one thing I have to tell you that concerns us is in the governor's budget, one of the things that is proposed to be eliminated is the mortgage foreclosure counseling services. I will be here shortly with our 2010 CDBG recommendations. We had not previously made recommendations for foreclosure counseling because we thought other sources would be doing it. You'll now be seeing in CDBG that we are now recommending some of that money to get used for foreclosure prevention through some of our agencies, because the services are just critical, and that's the only way we're going to actually get some of these numbers down. The permanent fixes that the president had been touting, nobody's really seeing a whole lot of those yet. You know, the banks are a little leery of are the folks who got into trouble in the first place, are they really ready to, you know, can they really handle a true adjusted mortgage? So, you know, as the agencies are seeing, they're all in like this trial period right now to make sure that they can stay constant with their payments. So those that are coming in for help, that those that are salvageable are getting the help, okay? Those where, you know, they were just in over their head and probably should never have gotten in that circumstance in the first place, you know, obviously you're not going to be able to save everybody.
Okay, I want to give time to the members to ask questions. I know Marty's been very patient.
Sure.
Therefore, I'm going to make him be more patient and ask Judy to start. Do you have any questions?
No, I have asked mine.
Okay, then we'll go to Marty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really to that last point, but let me back up a little bit. On the foreclosure counseling, are there any income limitations? I mean, I've got some people on this list who are probably in $2 million homes that are being foreclosed.
Did you say they're being foreclosed?
Well, they're in default. Right.
Yes.
So I just have a question. Are there any income limitations on who you give the counseling to?
There are no income limitations, except that depending upon the source of funding that's paying for certain counselors, there are some reporting requirements that they'll have to meet to us, that at least 51% meet the low and moderate income definition, which is 80% of median or lower, and are from consortium communities. To the two organizations that we're funding for this specific counseling, they'll have to meet that criteria. And I don't know if any of your other funding sources paying for this have other criteria as not. No.
Okay, so it's just, okay.
Now keep in mind, they may be in million-dollar homes, but that doesn't mean that their income still supports, they have that income
that
supports
them. That's probably why they're in default.
Might even be low and moderate income.
I mean,
right
this
now.
Is, you know, as you said, the president talked about there's a lot of federal money. This is not a congressional hearing, but as it comes down to Westchester, and to the extent we spend our money, watching a lot of this, I just sort of see on the news, but to me, there are issues, and that's why the program isn't working that well. I'm curious, in Westchester, if someone was in a subprime mortgage, at least going back a year or so, you know, and their interest rate went from, you know, 2% to 13%, that's one category of people. And I certainly see counseling and loan modification, and, you know, they could have supported the 2%, 4% mortgage. They can't support a 13% or whatever those jumps were. But what percentage is that versus, as you said before, you started saying, someone loses their job if the interest is zero. So, I don't know, it's a philosophical question. How much, you know, you hear different economists say different things. How much money should we spend at our level if someone, very unfortunately, has lost their job, can't do it? I mean, I don't know how much counseling you can do if the big picture is that you're putting off the inevitable. Maybe spending some money either to, I don't know, whether to make the payments or even on the counseling, where someone who was in a subprime or maybe with some counseling money still has a job and could stand it. So how do you, is there a differentiation? How do you prioritize who's just, unless they get a job, or something, you know, not going to make it. And let's, unfortunately, not spend a whole lot of time on them and put our priorities, because money is rare, scarce, on those who we can save. How do you handle that?
That has to come from the agencies.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if you face a person like that, they're the best people to help. Because if you're in a situation where you can't support it, then you go to the bank and you say, you want to do a short sale. And bottom line is, we bought this thing, it was worth $1 zillion. You know, you're going to fight me for a whole year. You know what? We all made mistakes here. You got bailed out. Give me a little bit, and let's sell this. And that's, in fact, happened with some of the people that we've come counseling with. They know they'll, you know, it's like, some people, if they had a pulse, they were given, you know, $400,000 for a half. So we know for a fact that
right.
So the bottom line is, those people, they can be helped as well. Bottom line is, sell your house, you know, start off fresh. At least your, you know, your credit will be, you know, somewhat.
Well, Alex, I appreciate it, but that's really, that goes to the point of my concern, because you say that happens, and I accept that, but we haven't, had a new committee, yeah, we haven't really done the oversight. I'm very concerned. Because I'm seeing national stories. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Westchester, but Westchester is where our money is. That, you know, people are sympathetic and emotionally, and you're empathetic and you want to help people. But with scarce dollars, do you sit down and say, you know what, you're just not going to make it. Try to get that short sale. But I'm just concerned because I don't know the answer of how much counseling is really diverted, you know, in terms of priorities. And we need more time to really come with the eight and really go through, you know, what did you do in January? Really go through.
I mean, if you'd like,
you know, person by person, because
I know you want to get to the housing updates.
So
what I can do is work with the agencies to get more of the scenario.
Because now I'm hearing, you know, CDBG, you'll be coming to us, and so it'll just, again, for me, heighten those questions. I see a lot of value to counseling, mm-hmm. in a certain percentage,
right.
of the population. And at least what I hear nationally from economists and others, that for the whole system to work, certain people, if it's not going to work, don't just delay it 3 or 4 or 6 months. And that's what's happening, national statistics. And then they're being foreclosed anyway, and you just spent that time and money, and you didn't let the system kind of flush itself out and help people who might have
been able to.
So yeah. I'm curious, if you're going to come asking for that money, my question would be, well, how targeted, how do we really know what the agencies are doing, and to try to focus those dollars where they work? Right. So thank you,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Bernice.
No, I'd like what Norma said. She's going to bring the CDBG money, so she'll have the information for us, because the time is limited, okay? I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get more of a perspective from the agencies in terms of what are they seeing, and really where do they think the guidance and the dollars should be spent.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Vito?
Just one quick question. Are any of the houses that we had constructed as affordable, any of those owners in default, do you know of?
We have now lost, through the last 15 years of our affordable housing program, I believe we've lost two units to foreclosure.
We recaptured them.
So two of our owners have been foreclosed on. Let me clarify that. Two of our owners have been foreclosed on. One was a couple years ago, where the family moved in and just never made a single mortgage payment. But, you know, through Rose and Housing Action Council, we have made it absolutely clear to the banks that our deed restrictions survive foreclosure. So we have not lost the units. We've just those families did not work out.
Okay.
But again, part of the reason is those families go through hours and hours of extensive home ownership counseling before they're even allowed to buy one of the houses. So they've already got a comfort level with this agency to be able to go back, and if it's the first sign of a problem in their house. So.
Thank you. John Nona?
I think it would be helpful if we can work up something that we could send to our constituents through an e-newsletter blast, advising them of what's available for foreclosure counseling.
Sure.
If someone could help us.
Yeah, I've done that myself, so there are a couple of templates around.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to update them, though, with current information.
Right. Because of the new law that comes into effect in just a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Helpful.
Okay.
Can I just mention one thing that Norma said that's really important that you may not have gotten?
Good.
Out of all the thousands of, you know, homes that the county has supported, she just told you that only two or three.
Right.
Do you know why that is? I mean, there's a big reason why. And I'm thinking that really, if you want to prevent this in the future, The way is not to prevent people from borrowing money.
Right.
The way to prevent people is giving them the education so that they can intelligently borrow the money. I would say 90% of the people that are in real bad trouble now, if they had gone through the counseling with Rose or our agency, anyone, they would have gone in the deal in the first place. And that's still not happening. And that's maybe what the county could do, require homebuyer counseling for first-time homebuyers. It's a very simple thing.
We do require it.
And quality, right. You do
for affordable, but for unaffordable,
yeah,
too.
I'm saying,
but I don't know if you could.
I'm saying, across the board,
I don't think
there,
you can
there
have
are
that.
This state legislation, and what's happening is we've been working together to try to create their standards now up at the state level. I mean, some banks now are doing it, but it's a perfunctory thing. You go online and you spend a half an hour. But I know that we're all on the same page on this. This might be something that I don't know what the county could do.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt.
We have only 15 minutes left, and we haven't heard from Deb on the affordable housing update. I'm sorry, legislators.
I'm just stressed about the time situation.
Right. Yes. Okay. Deb, if you would step in for part two.
And stress is not something anybody wants. Can I give you the sheets to hand out?
Color charts. Cool.
Oh,
charts.
Barbara.
Color charts.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's a little soft. It's not quite as good.
Here, give a stack over here and we'll move them down.
Okay, similarly to the practice that we've done in the past, we come up every couple months with just an update of what's in our pipeline, including those projects that you have already given approvals to spending certain dollars on, so that you can see when they finished or when they're what's under construction or what's having difficulty, because we have in the past even approved for some projects and then they just never come to be. So this is by legislative district, so it starts at the top with District 1 and works its way down, so that you can see in your specific districts which projects are going on, because I'm sure each of you will be more familiar with some of your own projects. We do have a number of projects that will be coming in this year. We have a number of them that are right now working on their tax credit applications, which are due February 10th.
Are these eligible to come under the settlement, ABC settlement?
John, the sheets that we're giving out are color-coded. I'll have Deb email them to you so that you'll get them with the color on them.
Thanks.
Yes, they are color-coded so that you can see that there are two projects that are highlighted as having been on the list as in the eligible communities, but they would not be eligible. That's the blue. Because they were already in the works and had their approvals before the agreement was signed. And then there are other ones in a peach color, orangish color, that we think should be eligible. There might even be more eligible, but right now they're a little, at least one of them's inactive. So yes, we do identify those that are potentially eligible.
Okay.
If they ever come to be.
All right, 33 units in total, John.
It's not that many.
33 in total.
It's the biggie, Somers, is not eligible.
Somers has
72.
This list includes developments that were proposed some time ago, and I think you've all seen how it just takes a long time for them to go through the approval process. Ms. Norman noted that we expect new potential developments start to be listed this year, but nothing's at a stage now where you can even have a coherent presentation on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And we have had other meetings as well on potential sites, and certain other sites are, but I wouldn't, it's not even to the point where we've even looked at a first set of numbers yet to be able to say that the project really works
right.
Yet. Okay? So
these are projects we have some application information for. One of them, actually, in the blue, the 37 Wildwood, we put on the list because we did expect that one to receive its air funding, and the developer, A-Home, was working with us and with the state to get the financing. We've since seen a letter that actually Deeds here did not fund it, so we're requesting that it be taken off the ineligible list should A-Home be able to put the package back together again, which we expect.
Oh, okay. So there's a possibility.
Taken off the
seven units.
Right. Which would then, if we look to finance it through a different pot of funding,
right.
then it's eligible.
Even potentially the $51.6 million, it could then go back on the eligible list. But in its current scenario, it's not feasible anymore.
This is hand-to-hand fighting here.
So it's one of those scenarios which we envision that we should have some negotiation to be able to get this one now to be able to count. And it's 7 units in Bedford, so...
Somebody ought to stop those negotiations with the monitor as soon as possible.
Actually in the implementation plan.
Hey, great. So good.
The mention of this project specifically.
The 72 in Somers, there's no way that could become eligible?
Not unless...
Does it work for Somers against
it?
Does it work for Somers against its legacy grant?
Yes, it does.
Good.
Yes.
And the thing there is, it is senior housing. It's funded as senior housing, so it'd be really difficult to try and count it.
Got it.
Oh, it's senior restricted?
Exactly.
Yes.
The Somers one is.
And that means it wouldn't come under the settlement
if
you haven't built any
not
other
yet.
Units yet under the settlement.
But it does count toward their legacy grant.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, are there preferences?
In which one?
For that project?
It's seniors.
There's no, that's all.
Okay, do you have more to tell us about this, or is this is pretty self-explanatory?
Yeah, that's why it was pretty much just giving you the list and answering any questions that you really
right.
have.
Legislator Rogowski.
Yes, two things, Mr. Chair. First, the White Plains project that we worked on 2 years ago.
Yes.
That I had heard it ran some legal issues. What's the current status
what
of
number is that?
It's senior housing.
Under 5, District 5, yeah. It's listed as senior housing.
151 years.
Oh,
what is the current status
okay.
of that?
The
is that ever going to happen?
The legal issue resolved. Actually still working with the city to get approvals.
Right.
We know that they're going in for an application to DHCR for tax credits. I mean, the whole thing is not only getting local approvals, but also trying to attract the funding. They had demonstrated to us for a considerable amount of time that they had some funding gap, and without getting the resources in place, you know, investing in terms of making local approvals seemed to be sort of questionable. I think they're to the point now where they see that they could put the financing together if they attract funding from both DHCR and the Housing Finance Agency. And put a more comprehensive package together. They will also be looking to the county for HIF funding for the parking, we understand.
So it's somewhere in the works some months down the road.
What they're trying to do, obviously parking under a building is very expensive. So they're now in more formal discussions with the city about potentially decking the parking lot that's out across the street from where they are.
Can I ask, because I don't recall the legal, did they actually close, it was our property, did we actually sell it to them that it closed?
No, we leased it.
It was a lease.
That was a lease.
All right,
the whole
okay.
discussion yesterday.
All right, right. All right, so on the lease, so we signed the lease. So what happens, you know, let's say, I mean, at what point do we say, are they in default at least? Do we get the property? Suppose someone walked in tomorrow, I got this great project, I got $100 million in the bank, I want to do this, and I get my approvals in 6 months. I mean, where are we? We have these folks, and I have nothing against them. They seem to be, here's my point. When can we get out of that lease and go do something else? And now we can sell it, maybe.
Right. They have asked in the past and have received in the past an extension. And we could certainly say, okay, we won't do that anymore. But to me, my impression would be to take a whole new group of people, the same amount
okay,
of
but
time.
The, okay, but so the point of my question, because I don't have the lease gives us the opportunities in the lease agreement that they don't meet certain milestones, we can call them into default. So
exactly.
We could, if we needed to get the lease back, there are
right.
opportunities to do that.
And
okay.
Going back to the legal issue is they did come to an agreement with the neighbors
okay, good.
Regarding the issue.
Right.
If they don't go forward, whoever steps in, we're going to be facing the same issues. So
right.
That's
okay.
Kind of
well, I just want to, and finally, Mr. Chairman, just Barbara passed this out, and this is my point. I want to get the reaction. This is New York Times, January 2nd this year. The Obama administration's $75 billion program to protect homeowners from foreclosure has been widely pronounced a disappointment, and some economists and real estate experts now contend that it's done more harm than good.
Okay.
And that's why I come back. So as we move forward, and that may be a wrong analysis, but as we move forward and whatever we're going to do, what the county's doing, I like to understand that if there are problems with that program and whether we are or aren't working, I assume we're working, it's a federal program, Westchester must have some piece of that, some action going on here.
This
we
is
just,
not money that comes directly to us or anything. This is really what's working through the bank.
Right, but if we're counseling to use this money, so for a future date, how is Westchester, the banks in Westchester, our agencies in Westchester, participating in this program, or is anyone in Westchester participating in the $75 billion program?
is it working or not working, and what are we doing to agree with the analysis it's doing more harm than good and go elsewhere or whatever, because you know, we don't live in a vacuum here. Right. I'd like to know where Westchester fits in this whole thing.
Good point. Thank you. Ms. Myers. Ms. Williams.
I have a couple of questions about the 22 Tarrytown Road. Okay.
In the 8th District.
In the 8th, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're just looking for an update on that project?
Yeah.
Okay, that project has now received all of its local land use approvals, and it is submitting an application for tax credits, low-income housing tax credits. That's the application that's due February 10th. We did give them a support letter for that for a housing trust fund and a new program, Urban Initiatives. Thank you. Right. So they are actually applying for three different programs through the state. They have applied before. Mm-hmm. They have actually been awarded tax credits before when they thought it was going to be a bigger building. Mm-hmm. When DHCR looked at it last year at the smaller size building, they thought it was too expensive. So West Ham then did some value engineering to the building, they have now come in with more reasonable numbers. So we don't hear on the tax credits until usually the end of July, the beginning of August. So if we'll have a better idea later this year.
And they've received all their zoning approvals and all that. And the next one, in Fairview, 33 Oak and 90 and 100 Manhattan Avenue.
That one, as you know, they're existing buildings. Yes. The dilemma that we're having is that the town board approved accepting that funding, mm-hmm. the funding from the county to actually make some infrastructure improvements. The dilemma is getting the actual departments who have to do the work to accept and do the work. So we actually had a conversation with the town yesterday. Are we going to do this or we're not going to do this? So, because the money that we're giving will redo the parking area and the landscaping in the front, would bring a new sewer line into the project. It's all going to make Manhattan Avenue look so much nicer if we could get this money spent over there. Mm-hmm. So the developer's on board, the town board was on board, we just now have to get the rest of the town staff on board.
Thank you.
Sure.
Ms. Breckman. Mr. Pinto.
No. We're going to get a report on the housing soon, aren't we? To talk about where we stand with the initial 1550 and why that we're on the books. And
well, we will first of all be working on the implementation plan,
which is due
the end of this week.
Has it
further on
gone
that
through upstairs yet?
I can't speak to the implementation plan. That's right. Not what I'm here for.
Okay. Right. No, that's our committee. We have to deal with this, but I think as the weeks go by, we've got a number of issues that are pushing on us, and I think February is going to be a little tense. But beyond that, yes, we certainly want to do that. Okay, I'm really appreciative of everyone because the new committee, the next committee coming in, will want this property. But before we go, we do have a draft set of minutes, and if any of you have speed read these things, I'd accept a motion. I've got one minor change that I found, but they appear to be otherwise satisfactory. Legislator Spreckman moves. Al?
A question on the minutes?
Of course.
Since I just found out yesterday that I was restored or renewed to this committee, that I'd like to say I did not know about this particular meeting. I take it that the reason why we weren't notified is that that was still a question that was
no. It was a dissonance in the force on my part. It had nothing to do with your being tardy or unwanted.
All right.
Not very much. All of you are wanted, and there will not be the merits will not be assessed for that. Right. I have a motion by Legislator Spreckman. Have a second.
Second
by Legislator Williams. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.
Legislator Rogowski, second by Legislator Myers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. We got to do something about this hour by hour shit.
Let's start at 9.
Well,
we could come in here,
or we could act on time, which would be the other thing. What do you think?
I'd say move the time to 9, and then we start.
Bill and Judy?
Yeah.
We got to get that implementation plan as soon as possible.
All right, yeah. I'll go talk to Betsy right now.
Have a discussion with Sue about it. We ought to at least have it beforehand,
right,
so we can study it. And I propose we, you know, get it today, and I can participate by phone. We don't need to do this in person even. We can have a phone.
Right.
All right, let me go. I'm going to go talk to Betsy right now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm 24,
26. Well, thanks,
John. I suggest we keep it 9:30. I think it's start 9:30.
Well, it's a little tough to start 9:30 when I'm here and you're here and nobody else is here.
Well,
first of all,
call for 9:15.
We need three. Well, if,